Jay, would you like to roll? Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the February 18th, 2021 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for the Board of Commissioners, invited guests, and specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask the commissioners, invited guests, and participating staff to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. During the meeting, if anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
This is Carol Ventura. Nicole Clement, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on the telephonic meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. This is Nicole Clement. Pursuant to Executive Order 20-46, extended by Executive Order 21-10, and as may be further amended or extended, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Members of the public can visit the Rhode Island Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event this teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. I would also like to provide some guidance to our Board of Commissioners and Rhode Island Housing staff as they participate in this meeting. Chairman Retzinas will preside. Please remember to state your name prior to speaking and mute your telephone when you are not speaking. And now I will turn it over to Chairman Retzinas to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Welcome to the February meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. Let me ask our Executive Director to call the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. I will now conduct a roll call of the Board of Commissioners and staff of Rhode Island Housing in attendance. Chairman Nicholas Retzinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Brett Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Liz Tanner.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Leanne Byrne.
Present.
Commissioner Kevin Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Stephen McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
Staff of Rhode Island Housing, James Comer.
Here.
Lisa Primiano.
Here.
Tara LaChapelle.
Here.
Bernadette McArthur.
Here.
Leslie McKnight.
Here.
Peter Pagonis.
Here.
Clarabelle Shavers.
Here.
Eric Shorter.
Here.
Christine Hunsinger.
Here.
Nicole Clement.
Here.
CJ Rotella.
Here.
Stephen Richard.
Here.
Chairman, the roll call is complete.
Thank you. You have before you the minutes of our January board meeting. Could I ask for a motion to approve?
Brett Smiley, so moved.
Is there a second?
Liz Tanner, second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, let's now call the roll. Nicole?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on January 22, 2021, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Retzinas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
I realize that I was absent for the 22nd, so I should abstain from the approval.
All right. Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is 6 ayes, 1 abstention, and 0 nays. The vote passes.
All right, thank you. Let me turn it over to our Executive Director to present her review of recent activities and trends.
Thank you, Chairman. excuse me. This month, homeownership and development are providing you with their projected production numbers for the upcoming calendar year. Peter Pagonis and his team expect to produce 1,500 single-family loans in 2021 and started off the year up from December with 152 loans closed and funded. Our development group projects the production and preservation of more than 1,600 apartments across a number of financing programs. We've shared statistics on our participating lender activity in 2020 with volume numbers on our top five lenders. I really think this demonstrates how important the relationships we maintain and develop with Rhode Island lenders and brokers is to our first-time home buyers and our volume overall. Delinquency remains high at 15.49% in January, down a bit, though, from 16.14% delinquency in December. Leslie and her team continue to closely monitor the portfolio, respond to inquiries and requests from our borrowers, and also monitor actions taken on a federal level to respond to the needs of homeowners experiencing delinquency as a result of unemployment and COVID. A bit of good news. On Tuesday, the Biden administration announced the extension of COVID-19 forbearance and foreclosure protections for homeowners. The protections have been extended through June 30th. The development group is closing on three transactions this month. I believe one closed yesterday. Two preservation deals and a workforce housing transaction. With these closings, we'll preserve 104 affordable apartments and create 38 workforce units. I'm pleased to report that the team is partnering with the Rhode Island Office of Energy, the Cadmus Group, and National Grid on a proposal to secure up to $7 million in DOE funding to continue our efforts to create net zero housing in Rhode Island. We're finalizing a services contract with the Director of the Department of Administration to administer the $200 million in COVID relief that's been allocated by the federal government to Rhode Island to assist renters that are unable to pay their rent and utilities due to a COVID impact. Our ability to stand this program up will require investment in technology, personnel, and partners. We know that technology will be critical to quickly deploy the funding and to capture all the data that will be necessary to ensure no duplication of assistance and to track statistics on a state level as to who's being assisted under the program. Staff are currently evaluating proposals submitted in response to an expedited RFP that we released for software. I believe that we've reached out to you to try to schedule a special board meeting next week to approve the software contract for the program. We'll be partnering with a number of agencies in order to best serve Rhode Islanders that need assistance under the program and are hopeful that Treasury releases guidance shortly that provides some flexibility around the funding. We'll continue to update you as we move forward with the contract and the program. Our FSS team was recognized in the Compass FSS Link publication. Clarabelle has provided some statistics for you on the great work our FSS group does moving families to economic stability. I encourage you to take a look at the Southside Community Land Trust video that was created by Margaret DeVos and her team. They're rehabbing a blighted building on Broad Street using in part the acquisition and revitalization funds we administered on behalf of the state. It was part of the last bond program. It's going to be a wonderful addition to the neighborhood when it's completed. The Government Relations Group has presented you with a brief overview on President Biden's COVID relief proposal. I think it's worth noting that there is almost $10 billion in aid for homeowners in this proposal, which will provide some needed relief for homeowners in Rhode Island impacted by COVID and unable to make their mortgage payments. Lastly, I've had the opportunity and pleasure to meet with several officials recently, including the Senate Finance Committee and Senate Committee on Housing and Municipal Government, to discuss CARES Act funding and the new CRF dollars and outcomes of the past housing bonds. Last month, we connected with the newly elected mayors of Central Falls, Cranston, and Warwick to hear about their housing agendas and priorities. And I also had the opportunity to meet with Lieutenant Governor McKee's transition team to discuss the work we do at Rhode Island Housing and the multiple hats we wear. Tonight we have a meeting with Lieutenant Governor McKee and his staff to provide a housing briefing primarily focused on CRF funding. I'll pause there, Chairman, for questions.
Good report. Excellent report. Questions? Commissioner Smiley, you want to say a word or two with one of the parties to the transaction?
Yeah. With respect to the rental assistance, we have been thinking long and hard. We know it was the various rental assistance programs of which there were some complicated rules in the fall were not deployed as fully as we would have liked because of mostly compliance issues and the way in which the rules were structured. And so Governor Raimondo and my department had the most confidence in Rhode Island Housing's ability to effectively obligate and get help where it was needed. And so while I know it's going to be a burden on the agency, I also don't know of a better place to help administer these funds in at the scale at which they're being appropriated. And so we're grateful that Rhode Island Housing is a willing partner in this. And in the midst of the pandemic, we really think it's the best choice and the way to benefit homeowners or renters most fully. And so I look forward to the conversation if it gets scheduled next week as well with regard to the software, because we do need to support the agency and the resources that they need in order to get this money out the door, because it really will help Rhode Islanders.
Great, thank you. Thank you for your partnership in this very important and significant adventure. Other questions or comments? Okay, let's go on to item number four, on board action number four, approval of charitable donations and contributions. And Carol, you're going to give the report?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. This is Carol Ventura. This action is for approval and ratification of recent charitable contributions and donations made by Rhode Island Housing to partner agencies. The chart at Attachment A summarizes the sole contribution made by the agency, which was for the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce Legislative Conference, which was held on February 8th. Six staff members of the agency attended this event. We recommend approval of this charitable contribution in the amount of $240.
Thank you. And our management committee reviewed this. Do you have any comments?
We did review it, and we unanimously recommended it. So I would be happy to make a motion to approve board action item number four.
Thank you. So
Leanne, I second
second
the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's call the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the external charitable donations and contributions, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for Oxford Land Family Housing. Eric Shorter will make the presentation. Eric?
Good morning, everyone. This is Eric Shorter, Director of Development. First transaction is Oxford Place, Oxford Land Family Housing. This sponsors preservation of affordable housing power. The proposed development will be located on a vacant site adjacent to the existing Oxford Place and Gardens. Both properties were refinanced and substantially rehabbed in 2018. The development will consist of 30 units in a three-story style garden residential building. The proposed building will provide a mix of four one-bedroom, two one-bedroom with dens, 13 two-bedroom units, and 11 three-bedroom units. In total, there will be 24 LIHTC units and six market-rate units. The project is anticipated to be built to the highest standard of passive housing certification and provide free access to broadband service to all three Oxford properties on the south side of Providence. total development cost is approximately $9.9 million. Staff recommends firm approval for a reservation up to $796,000 in 2020 tax credits and firm approval of first mortgage in amount up to $1.4 million in financing. I'll pause there for questions.
And I believe the credit committee has reviewed this.
Yes, we did. Chairman, this is Commissioner Orth. A few differences in this final proposal versus preliminary. It's approximately a 10% cost increase. It was good to see that the sponsor POA was able to take care of this increase with no additional request for sources from Rhode Island Housing. Also, the changes in the proposal included a slight remix of the units, but this and the cost increases did not affect the overall scoring, and it is still should be slated for award. Also looked at the density of the development, and it did have discussion at the on its impact with the Providence school system, and that was felt to be minimal. And I believe it was density was reduced by a story, so it does fit in contextually with the neighborhood. The committee voted unanimously to approve this.
I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Any discussion? Any comments?
This is Steve McAllister. I like the part where you pointed out about the broadband. I think that's going to be more and more important as we move forward in this, you know, new COVID world, and how important that is to people have access to broadband. So I liked how that was included in this, you know, summary. So we know that the residents will be able to take advantage of that. That helps for not only the schools, but, you know, people working from home and in this new world, you know, broadband is very important. So thank you for addressing that.
Excellent point, Steve. Hearing no further questions or comments, could our general counsel call the roll?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of firm approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for Oxford Land Family Housing, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Berry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item in the agenda is preliminary approval of financing for Forest Farm Assisted Living. And again, this will be Eric Shorter presenting the report.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Eric Shorter again. Forest Farm Assisted Living. The sponsor is Church Community Housing Corp. The property was originally constructed and financed by Rhode Island Housing in 1999 using low-income housing tax credits and other financing. The property currently has 51-bedroom assisted living apartments contained in a single building in Middletown, Rhode Island. Church Community is proposing over $4.5 million in improvements to the development. The total development cost, a little over $7.4 million. Staff recommends preliminary approval for Rhode Island Housing financing, including a $2.2 million first mortgage and capital magnet funds in an amount up to $750,000.
I believe this was also reviewed by the credit committee, Commissioner Orth?
Yes, we did. This is Commissioner Orth. The rehab expenditure seemed rather high given a 20-year age of the facility. We understood that these costs are partly attributable to Davis-Bacon wages, and there's also significant infrastructure replacement, including the sprinkler system, fire alarm system, and also energy efficiency upgrades to HVAC system. So hopefully going forward, this will result in some reduced operating expenditures for the property, which would help its financial feasibility. It's been tough going with the Medicaid waiver program. This developer and sponsor has really stuck it out. I think that the inclusion of the 30 project-based vouchers will significantly help revenue going forward. And the sponsor has also developed an agreement with a third-party provider of the assisted living services. So hopefully providing another small mitigation to the potential unknown of Medicaid waiver funding going forward. We also discussed the renovations in place of projects during this time of COVID and making sure that appropriate precautions were put into place. The agency has significant experience this past year with doing renovations in place, so we felt very comfortable that this would be handled safely and appropriately. And the committee did recommend approval of this financing, and I would make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, could our general counsel conduct a roll call vote?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Forest Farm Assisted Living, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzenas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is action item number 7, a recommendation for transfer of physical assets for Summerfield Apartments in Providence. And again, Eric is going to make the presentation. Eric?
Again, this is Eric Shorter. Unlike the two prior transactions, the sponsor is not requesting any financing from Rhode Island Housing. This is purely administrative approval process. Under Rhode Island Housing's regulations governing proposed prepayments or transfer, project owners must obtain Rhode Island Housing's approval and comply with Rhode Island Housing's administrative procedures to transfer of physical assets before conveying, assigning, or transferring any ownership interest in the developments. This development is 144 units of family housing located in Providence. 60 units benefit from a project-based voucher through the Housing Authority. The development's initial 15-year compliance period ends next year on 2022. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the transfer of limited partner interest is purely administrative, will have no impact on the operations of the development. The staff of asset management and the development group jointly reviewed the request and determined that the proposed transaction complies with ITPA requirements. Staff recommends the transfer of limited partnership interest.
Thank you. And again, the credit committee has also reviewed this.
Yes, we did, Nick. The proposal, as Eric indicated, meets the TPA requirements. There are no compliance or physical issues outstanding. We do recommend approval of this.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Maria Berry.
And properly moved and seconded. Are there any comments or questions? Hearing none, let me ask our general counsel again to conduct the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the transfer of physical assets for Sutterfield Apartments, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Ritzenas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda concerns the engagement of an insurance tracking services firm. And Leslie McKnight, our Assistant Deputy Director, will make the presentation. Leslie.
Thank you. This is Leslie McKnight. This request for action is for approval to engage a firm to provide insurance tracking services for Rhode Island Housing and Mortgage Finance Corporation's Loan Servicing Division. To improve our customer experience and increase efficiencies within the Loan Servicing Division, in October 2020, Rhode Island Housing issued a request for proposal through which it sought proposals from qualified firms to assist it with streamlining its insurance tracking functions. The request for proposal was posted on Rhode Island Housing's website and the website maintained by the State of Rhode Island Department of Administration's Division of Purchases. Four firms submitted proposals in response to the RFP. A selection committee comprised of the members of Loan Servicing, Compliance, and IT divisions reviewed the proposals and evaluated them in accordance with criteria outlined in the RFP. The committee assigned Allied Solutions Insurance Services, LLC, a score of 85 out of a possible 100. Allied Solutions provides insurance tracking services to approximately 4,000 mortgage clients nationwide. The committee was impressed by Allied's processes, web interface capabilities, and pricing plan. Further, the committee believes that Allied Solutions will be able to provide our customers with a seamless transition. Currently, Rhode Island Housing's loan servicing staff receive and process approximately 19,000 annual hazard insurance policies each year. These policies are received from the insurers or from our customers. Allied will obtain insurance renewal policies directly from the insurers and interface directly with our loan servicing platform to update records, process annual renewal payments, and image these policies. This will enable staff to shift their focus from processing insurance payments to performing quality assurance and vendor oversight. Staff recommends approval of engagement of Allied Solutions Insurance Services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I believe the management committee reviewed this. Commissioner Smiley?
Yep, this is Brett Smiley. We did review it and think that this is the right direction to better utilize in-house staff resources and to outsource this function. We had confidence in the RFP and recommended approval of this item to Allied Solutions, and I'll make that motion to recommend approval of item number 8.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Any further comments? Questions?
This is Commissioner Orth. I have a question, please. Is it anticipated that outsourcing this will lead to a reduction in operating expenses? And if not, what would the overall benefit be?
So at this point, we're not sure whether or not it will reduce overall operating expenses. It will depend on whether or not we can eliminate an FTE. We won't know that until we implement the vendor and stop performing the process. If we were able to eliminate an FTE, it would basically be break even. There wouldn't be an additional expense, nor would there be a savings.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
This is Brett Smiley. Carol, just to complete that thought, it's management's hope, however, that we'll do a better job of, we'll be more responsive and actually better provide customer service for, at best, no additional cost. Is that right?
Definitely. Yes, that's correct.
Thanks.
Thank you for that. Hearing no questions or further comments, let me ask our general counsel to take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the engagement of an insurance tracking services firm, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rizinas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Burns.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item number 9, approval of quality control software license. And Lisa Premiano will give this report.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Commission. This is Lisa Premiano. This request for action seeks authorization for Rhode Island Housing to enter into a license agreement with Tenna Second Look to provide quality control software to perform loan servicing quality control reviews. These services are currently performed by an external vendor, and Rhode Island Housing has the staff and expertise to perform these audits internally. In December of 2020, Rhode Island Housing issued an RFP seeking qualified vendors to provide these services. Two vendors submitted proposals in response to the RFP. A selection committee consisting of loan servicing and quality control staff determined that Tenna Second Look was the most qualified vendor with a weighted score of 8.3 out of 10. Factors considered in the recommendation were the vendor's professional capacity, fee structure, experience with other housing finance agencies, and recommendations. Five other housing finance agencies licensed the Tenna software and all provided positive recommendations. Tenna's audits include test scripts that meet FHA, VA, USDA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and state and federal requirements. And the test scripts are updated on an ongoing basis to ensure that the content reflects current regulatory requirements. Tenna also maintains a resource center with reps who are available to handle client inquiries. Fees for these services consist of $6,500 for the initial license and training fees and an annual fee going forward of $15,000. The move to internal QC using Tenna software will result in a significant cost savings to Rhode Island Housing and will not require any additional staffing. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think the management committee is taking a look at this.
We did, and we recommended approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Leanne, I second.
Thank you. Properly moved and seconded. Any further comments or discussion or questions? Hearing none, let me ask our general counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the purchase of a quality control software license, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is the authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds in the amount of $250 million. I'm going to ask Kara LaChapelle to make the presentation. Kara?
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, I'm going to have Bernadette McArthur, our Director of Finance, she will present.
Great. Bernadette?
Thank you, Kara. Yep, thank you, Kara and Chairman. Good morning. This is Bernadette McArthur. This request for single family bonding authority is a routine item that comes to the board about once each year to allow us to continue our bonding program. Our last single family bond issue was executed this past October, with the proceeds from that issuance expected to be utilized by the end of this month. Based on the current pipeline of registrations and on production estimates, staff anticipates issuing approximately $250 million of single family bonds to fund new mortgages or refund existing bonds over the next 12 to 18 months. This resolution would authorize the issuance of up to $250 million of single family bonds, and that bond issuance authority would expire on September 30th, 2020. And so it's our request to the board to authorize the issuance of up to $250 million in single family bonds over the next 18 months to fund the Home Ownership Opportunity Bond Program. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the management committee had a chance to review this.
Yes, it's Brett. As Kara points out, this is a routine matter. It's important, but it comes up regularly. And so to keep the pipeline going, we voted to recommend approval to the full board, and I'll make the motion to do so.
Wait, is there a second?
This is Leanne, I second.
Any further comments or questions? Kara, Bernadette, talk a little bit about the interest rate environment and how that will affect bonding going forward.
I'm sorry, Nick, this is Kara, could you repeat what you asked, which environment?
It's a strange time for interest rates, given how low they are. Talk a little bit about the impact of that on our bonding going forward.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you. This is Kara LaChapelle. So Interest rates are at, you know, all-time lows. We are experiencing that in the bond market, and so we have been able to execute some bond transactions with very low interest rates and pass those along to our customers. On the flip side, we do have investments, and you know, we take money in until we pay our bond holders, and so we're not earning anything on those investments. So there really is a compression of spreads. So you know, we're trying to balance our portfolio in that way. So I think the low interest rates have benefited our borrowers. On the other side, we just have to watch our investments and look for other opportunities to earn interest on the money that we're holding.
Great, thank you for that. Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, let me ask General Counsel to take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of authorizing the issuance of home ownership opportunity bonds in the amount of up to $250 million, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. That includes the traditional agenda. We have one more item to cover in executive session, so I'd like to entertain a motion to convene this body in executive session. Is there such a motion?
Smiley, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Any comments? Hearing none, again, our general counsel will take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of convening into executive session to discuss the job performance of the executive director, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. I would like to note for the record that the executive director has been notified in writing that she may require that this discussion take place in open session, and she has no objections. I also would like to remind the commissioners that there is one action item left on the agenda after the executive session, so you will need to come back into open session. And so at this point in time, you are able to drop off the line and to convene into executive session. For those members of the public and staff who are on the phone, please feel free to stay on the line until the Board of Commissioners. Thank you.
So we'll hang up now and then call in this number the Marylander has sent us, and we'll reconvene in executive session.
That is correct, Chairman. You will drop off the line. The commissioners will drop off the line, call into the number provided to them by Marilena, and convene into executive session. Once you are finished convening into executive session, you will come back out and go back into open session on the original line. A little confusing, but we're happy to walk you through it.
they're returning.
Thank you.
Commissioner Orth.
Maria Berry.
Steve McAllister.
This is Leanne Burns from the Treasurer's Office.
Brett Smiley.
Let's see if we're all convened here. Nicole, are you available?
I am. Yes, Chairman.
Could you take the roll call vote? Take the roll call vote. Could you take the attendance vote?
Yes, I will do that. Chairman, I hear you. I believe I heard Vice Chairman Smiley. Is that correct?
Correct.
I believe I heard Commissioner Orth.
Yes.
I believe I heard Commissioner McAllister.
Correct.
Is Commissioner Tanner on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. I believe I heard Commissioner Berry.
Yes.
And I believe I heard Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Present.
Yes. So, Chairman, all commissioners are back on the line. So you can now convene back into open session.
All right. We've just completed our executive session. We're now into open session. And I would like to entertain a motion to extend the contract of our executive director by 2 more years. Could I have such a motion?
So moved, Commissioner Orth.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Any
second,
comments?
Steve
Gallagher. Any comments or questions?
This is Brett Smiley. The only comment is I think there's consensus, but certainly speaking for myself, wanted to speak highly and personally favorable of Carol's performance, and I'm very excited that we'll be renewing the contract for 2 more years for her to continue to perform well on behalf of the agency and to keep up the good work.
Well said, well said. Let's conduct a roll call vote.
Prior to doing the roll call vote, Chairman, can you confirm that no votes were taken in executive session?
I can confirm no votes were taken in executive session.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the employment contract of the executive director subject to the terms and conditions as approved by the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas.
An enthusiastic aye.
Commissioner, Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Berry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. And Carol, thank you for your excellent, outstanding work to this point, and we look forward to more of the same and just even more outstanding going forward.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Just Leanne, I make a motion to adjourn.
There a second?
Second.
Any comments, questions? Hearing none on the motion to adjourn, let's take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning this meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Berry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Before I formally adjourn the meeting, let me recognize the contribution of Commissioner Smiley. He is off to greener pastures. We wish him well in that. We thank him for his service. Notwithstanding the long list of to-dos, each and every day, he was always at our meeting, always added value. So, Commissioner Smiley, thank you for your public service.
Thank you, Nick and Carol and colleagues on the board. This day was inevitable. I have aspirations for future public service, and so it's time for me to close this chapter and start that chapter. But Rhode Island Housing has been a kind of a part of my family's life for a long time. Many of you know my husband was the chairman of the board for some time, and
yes,
both in the governor's office and now at DOA, and even going back to as a consultant working on a housing bond almost 10 years ago now, this is an agency that I feel very strongly about, and I'm delighted with the work. I want to thank Nick for running a great board. A lot of work gets done in the committees, and the committee structure that you put in place has been, highly effective and highly efficient. And Carol and the professionalism of the staff is just top-notch. Rhode Islanders, not every Rhode Islander interacts with Rhode Island Housing, but those that do have terrific experience, and the state as a whole is much stronger as a result of the agency's work. And I was quite proud to be affiliated with it for even a short period of time. So I'm sure that the new director, when he or she is named, will lean in and contribute as fully as I have. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.